us. I'll see you on the other
side. I'm so grateful.
All right. Thanks, Reverend Linda.
There's a voice that's softly whispering inside my head, telling me I'm gonna be all right. It keeps saying, let yourself be led where you are led. Don't hold back, don't put up a fight. It tells me, trust the wind, breathe the air. There's a place you're meant to be, and you're already there. Open up your heart and let life in. You know that you can always trust the wind. When the world starts doing things that I don't understand, and I search my soul to find a reason why, in the dark of night I feel somebody take my hand and tell me you don't even have to try. For you can trust the wind, breathe the air, and know that there are helping hands around you everywhere. Open up your heart and let life in. You know that you can always trust the wind. Dreams have wings, thoughts take flight. All good things are streaming toward us every day. They hear our prayers, they know. Somewhere I'll open up my heart and let life in. I know wherever breezes blow, wherever winding rivers flow, I'm going where I need to go.
Brava, brava. I tell you what, that music just placed us in the atmosphere of power from which we begin this message this morning. I wasn't kidding when I told Reverend Britt that my dominant intention is to provoke. It is part of my purpose. I believe it's what my ministry is really about. Why? Because I provoke myself. I provoke thought. I am a person that has always questioned, how about you? Questioned and provoked thought. I didn't settle on and get satisfied with all the pat answers that I've received in the world. And that makes me a questor, right? It makes me, and so many in Unity, most of us come to Unity with a questing mind, a questioning sense. And so I provoke. It's part of what I'm here to do in a good way, right? So may my message this morning provoke you. You know, may you question deeper. May you grapple with divine ideas as we give some thought to what prayer is all about. Really, let's break it down. At least let's understand more about what we know about prayer this morning. You know, the first thing that most of us have learned is that we pray, you know, because something is going on that we want something different. We pray because we don't like what's happening. Something unwanted is going on, and I want something else or something more, something greater. And so, you know, we want what we want, don't we? And we tend to have already a preformed idea of what that something is that we want. And so we very often have gone to prayer with a sense of, how can I pray in such a way that I can get what I want? You know what I'm talking about, right? But when I really look at what for me is the purpose of prayer, and when I look at my life through the years and the things that were worrisome to me or on my mind, things I wanted to improve or resolve in my life that I would bring to prayer, I realized that at the heart of everything that I would ask in prayer or take to prayer was this, that in that situation, I was feeling powerless. So think about that, or just put that in your pocket for later if you want to think about that later. Powerlessness is really the reason why we come to prayer. Now, that's not true if we're praying a prayer of gratitude, right? If we're just feeling really awesome, in awe, feeling grateful. But when we're praying out of a sense of a need, powerlessness is the issue. So we might think, and certainly on the surface, we're looking for something particular, which is our desired outcome. But that's a prayer of limitation, if you think about it. Because as a human, in a human suit, in form and space and time, I have a limit to what I can see and know and perceive at any time. And so when I have a particular idea of my desired outcome, that's a prayer of limitation. I know what I want, and it has to look like this, or else my prayer's not answered. That's a prayer of limitation. Does that make sense to you? But let's look at the potential of unity's form of affirmative prayer to recognize that prayer is never about catching God's attention. What it is about attending to the power within us, to our capacity, our innate capacity. It's not about asking for what we want, but about realizing what we are. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is not about asking for what we want, but about realizing what we are. This to me is turning prayer around, right? Instead of talking to God, talking from a consciousness instead of our divine identity to our human identity, we're harnessing the power of our true nature. I mean, Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said, "Prayers aren't sent out at all." She said, where would we send our prayers? We should direct them to our minds and our hearts and our affairs. So this understanding really turned prayer around for me as I grappled with and as I provoked that thought within myself. So prayer at its best is the first and second of Unity's five principles, which really are one principle. There's one principle. The prime principle of oneness, right? And the first and second teachings in Unity really speak to that. There's only one power, and I'm a chip off the old block, right? I'm made of that same power. That's my nature, right? God and I are one. That's what prayer is premised upon. So, you know, we all know this, that our embedded theology, our early training, the culture around us, the collective consciousness gave us some conditioned thinking. Now, even if you were not raised in a religious environment, as many today who are in Unity were not, and I think you have an easier time of it, really, because you don't have to unlearn a bunch of stuff. But those of us, but even so, you were subject in childhood, through your education, through your socialization, you were subject to a body of thought that has God as an external being and has humans as far, far lower forms, right? Far, far more helpless, more certainly more sinful or more unworthy, that we have been given these messages, not intentionally, of course, but it's the body of thought in the world. And so it makes it very difficult for us to see that power that God is within ourselves. Do you agree? It makes it very hard to claim our God nature. Charles Fillmore called it the God man in his day. I call it the divine human. To see our divine human. It's very challenging to see it when we have been told that we're only human. Make sense? So Unity's affirmative prayer has a potential that most of us have not practiced enough to really break through to this incredible realization of our divine humanity. So we know prayer's not about supplicating. It's not about God as a superhuman Santa Claus that fixes all our problems, you know, or do we? You know, sometimes by default, we feel like we need that kind of God. But Unity's affirmative prayer is what Charles Fillmore described as the highest mind action known. It's about lifting our human consciousness to the God standard or the God consciousness, right? The most highly accelerated mind action known. And this does something when we place ourselves in that rarefied air, you know, really, then we come into a state of realization that that power that we have viewed as being outside of ourselves or bigger than us, the higher power that it's part and parcel of our own nature, that it is the grandest aspect of what we are. And it is coexistent with, it is equal to our humanity, fully human, fully divine. And what we can do with that is really quite amazing, right? So take a breath with me. I have to do that sometimes because I get so impassioned. I know you can't tell that, right? But so impassioned about this because it's been a climb for me, like it has for most people, to come up above a feeling of being so much lesser than what God is that I can never measure up or I can never really be empowered in life. But let's think about the ways that we can claim that nature. Because I'm going to say this, when we say God and I are one, you know, in Unity even, you'll read this, and I still do too, we often say, I'm one with God. I'm one with God. But when I say I am one with God, you can see there's a perception of two, right? There's God and there's me, and I am like God, or I'm, right? But God and I are one. This was Jesus's statement in the I am, the Christ consciousness of Jesus saying, I am. When you see the Father, when you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. God and I are one. This means, and of course, Fillmore taught that whatever we can say about the nature of God, we must be able to start saying about ourselves. Take that in. Does it feel blasphemous? Sometimes it feels blasphemous from what the world has told us. But what human good can we do if we see ourselves as weak and helpless? So let's just get into what this means. So just think about this. Scripture says, and we've been told, and we probably all really get this, God is love. That's not disputed, right? God is love. It doesn't say God is loving, God loves me, God, but God is love. God is the very love that I feel within me, that's all around me, that I am. God and I are one. Love and I are one. When I try that on, it rings as a truth in my heart. Does it do that for you? It impresses upon me that I am an actor in love. So, you know, this is just the fact. God is the invisibleness, right? Can't see, touch, all of that with God, but I can sense what God is. So I sense God is love. But I have an extra added thing that I can do, and so do you. In form and space and time, I can actually act into love. I can express that love in my human dimension. And so, you know, God is not the doer of love. I am love, loving. I am love, capable of loving. And we're going to explore in the meditation in a few minutes. We're going to explore how we can really take that in, really in a spiritual way and into spiritual realization. But you get where I'm coming from, right? And so this is true for all that I can say about the nature of God. It's true about God. It must be my nature. And therefore, I'm in a capacity to claim that and make it real, which is what realization is. Right? I'm going to make it real in my day-to-day experience. So God is the harmonious power of love. I can feel that. I can know that. I can understand what harmony means and that I can take that in and claim it as my nature. And now I can harmonize my thinking. I can harmonize my words when I meet you, right? I can do that because love and I are one, because I am that love. I am. So think about how this could be real for you. I mean, think about that person you had an argument with, right? That person, you care about them. Maybe it's a coworker that just drives you crazy, right? But take that person, you know, think about that person. We've called that person other, right? Think about your capacity to be harmonious love and what could become possible when you stand in that realization. That's the fulfillment of prayer. That's 100%, look, Linda, 100% human Linda does not live in a state of realization 24/7. I like to say realization is temporary. You know, in this moment, I can be in realization or enlightenment. A moment from now, I might be in my emotions instead. You know what I'm saying, right? Fully human, fully human. But imagine I've gone to the grocery store and the parking lot is full except for the one open space has a cart, a shopping cart in front of it. And my snark comes out, my human snark. You know, who would do such a thing? That these lazy people, I mean, how hard is it to just take your cart and put it where, you know the riff, right? You know the riff. Well, I have learned a technique that I learned since I was in San Antonio that is my definition of prayer today. And I'm going to describe it for you and then get back to this story. All right. In Texas, I found for the first time in my adult life that I could drive on the roads successfully. Why? Because Texas has a unique road system, especially in the cities like in San Antonio, Dallas, and such. When you're driving on the highway, there's businesses lining both sides of the highway, right? And so when I lived in Pennsylvania and I had to get somewhere, but I missed my exit, or I noticed that where I wanted to be was somewhere else and I've already passed the exit for it, I would have to go out of my way miles and miles, right? I'd have to go all the way to the next exit, turn around, weave my way all the way back until I could get where I'm going. Not in Texas. In Texas, they have this road system called turnarounds. Oh, it's the coolest thing. So when I'm driving and I'm seeing what I want is on the other side of the road, I don't have to get off some exit. I go on the inside lane and I use a turnaround lane. That turnaround takes me to the other side of the highway on an access road, and I drive right to my location. I love Texas. I call it the Texas turnaround because it just sounds like a dance to me, right? The Texas turnaround is what I have learned to do, and that's what prayer does for me. Prayer is the Texas turnaround, which means when I have found that I'm not where I want to be, like say with my car, I don't start screaming at my car and say, bad car, you didn't take me where I wanted to go. Oh, no, no, I just turn around. So prayer to me is the great turnaround of consciousness. So I start the prayer going not where I want to go. I've got this need to have something else happen, right? I have this unwanted situation. I want to correct it or I want to reform it. And so I'm in that state. So what prayer does, when I get in the consciousness of my divine identity, when I say that what I recognize of God, I now recognize that in me, and I am fully capable now, I have turned around. And now I am realizing that I can meet the need of that situation from a place of spiritual power. It's me finding the power within to turn around my own thinking, which leads to turning around my own behavior. And my behavior, my thinking and my behavior have everything to do with what happens next in that situation. I hope this makes sense to you as it does to me. It thrills me to know I can never be helpless, never be powerless. Everything that's needed for this moment is within me. Do you believe that about you? And when I don't believe it, that's why I pray, so that I can believe it and I can realize it. I can make it real in time and space. So back to divine love. So you are the harmonious power of divine love, which means you're capable of harmonizing your thoughts, neutralizing any negativity, seeing the best in yourself and others. And you are the unifying power of divine love, that power that's capable of seeing that you and I are one, seeing that God and I are one, and therefore seeing no other. And you are the magnetizing power of love. You're capable of a deep desire that draws you to fulfillment, right? Magnetizing you to the things that you are most, that are most important to you. I mean, all the other powers, all the other principles work. In the book Divine Audacity, I write extensively about each of our 12 powers and many ways that they can demonstrate. They're all aspects of the divine. They're all principles that we can say, this is the nature of God. And oh, by the way, they're in me. I just turn within and I can activate, turn on that power and use it in my life. So prayer is never for a specific outcome, right? Prayer is for the healing of my mind. It's for transformation of my understanding such that I can be a presence in the situation that I'm praying about that can help it to improve, that can remind me that I've got it in me. Tell yourself that I have it in me. I am Godness. And that means to me where we say where God is, I am, we can also say what God is, I am. Right now, say that. Where God is, I am. What God is, I am. So to conclude here, friends, unity's affirmative prayer is useful. It's useful prayer. There's a kind of tongue-in-cheek saying that, you know, God doesn't want to be worshipped. God wants to be used, or God can be not, does, isn't, it, there's not much value in worshiping. There's value in using God. Unity's affirmative prayer is useful. We don't discount our human feelings about our human experience. Instead, we use the Texas turnaround, right? We turn around, which means, so Fillmore said, we have a pivotal nature. We have a fully human nature with time and space and form and human circumstance. And we have a spiritual nature, that ineffable. It's not visible to us, but it is sensed and known in times of stillness, in times of deep spiritual inquiry. We get glimpses of it, and we can fully activate that power. 100% human, 100% divine. And so what we do in prayer is we remind our human of our divine. That's what we do. We say, I'm not only human, I'm divine. I have this spiritual capacity beyond what my human limitations have been. And there it is, friends. That's the key. We find our able. We find our ability. We find that we are not and never have been powerless at all. And really, in my estimation, the world is needing us to step out of the fear of being so bold as to declare, I am divine. We're afraid that, you know, if people look inside of us, they're going to see all our human foibles. Well, we all have them, but it's just not the only story there is about us, right? And prayer is to tell the greater story of our ability, of our power. That's why we're in a unity community, to be reminded. So congratulations for being in a community that encourages you to be all of that, to know your godness, to be that bold, that strong, that wise. Congratulations. I'd like for us to move into a time of meditation. I'd like to meditate on the power of love particularly. So will you join me? Begin in the way that you enter your own posture for prayer, so that you can sit comfortably and yet alert. Give the instructions to your nervous system to slow. Instruct your thoughts to still and quiet. Instruct your heart to open. Just for a moment to be in touch with your magnificent heart center. Just place your hands over your heart just for a moment. Be in touch in an embodied way with divine love right here. Embodied. If you're a visual person, just envision the radiating light, the pink light of divine love, just circulating throughout your heart center and out into your entire body, all the way to its edges. Knowing, as we do know, when we think about it, that our bodies are not so solid as we have come to believe. Just send that love out beyond the body. See it just flowing through the pores of your skin. This permeable skin that isn't so solid at all, but is at one with the universe around us. So much so that in this exercise of sharing love, there is no difference between my body and the universe. In this way, there is only love. Lower your hands to your lap if you'd like. Just sense that love that is streaming from your fingertips, from the palms of your hands, anywhere you go in your imagination to your body, love is streaming from there. For you are love itself. Recognize right now the source of all love. I'm steeped in that. And there are no borders. I am love. I am love. If my mind wants to argue against this in any way, just remind yourself, I could never be weak, small, or helpless, or broken. For love is my name. Only my human awareness could see anything less than love. And I can lovingly hold my human perspective. I don't need to squelch my humanity, but only right now open to my divinity. To be still now and know that I am love. I recognize divine love is the source of the love that I am. I claim love. I allow love. And I realize love. I'm thinking now about how I can make love real in my experience. And so I think about the magnetizing power of love. I am able by that power to dream and desire and draw fulfillment from all the possibilities of divine ideas. I am the harmonizing power of love, able to harmonize my thoughts and to conclude those thoughts with actions that are harmonious. I am the unifying power of love, able to connect with others and ultimately to see no other. Firmly in my divine identity, I express these spiritual qualities. I'm intentional about my deepest desires. I stay in the feeling and the thought vibration that magnetizes me to the things that match my vibration. I harmonize discordant thoughts so that I might speak and act compassionately. And I discipline my mind and heart to see no other, especially during times of disagreement. I am love. I realize love in the way that I think and behave going forward. So all that I've desired is fulfilled in this present powerful moment. I am so blessed to be unified within my body, mind, spirit, whole, and one, to be connected with all in the harmony of divine love, able to live intentionally, magnetized to the longings of my heart. I am overflowing with appreciation. Overflowing with appreciation. And so it is.
Say a prayer, though I've never seen you, somehow I know you're there. You're in the faces of the people that I meet. You're as solid as the earth beneath my feet. So if I forgive me, I've been given so much, and I am blessed. Every time I look into my baby's eyes and think of all the friends who've touched my life, I realize hard to find a way. A heart can get confused, but then I hold you and it all